And now with a medley of their hit, here's Gatos and Chad.
We've had more than a few hits. Huh. Goodness me, he acts like we're one-hit wonders.
Hey, I talked to Becky Lynn today. She's out with COVID, and she's feeling pretty good today. So it's like a cold, she said. You know, not feeling great, but not feeling awful. So that's very good. She was vaccinated. So, yeah, it's a breakthrough case, but the shot is doing its doing its work. So she's got another, what, 6 days
yeah,
or so?
I think she's out all next week, and then she should be back the following Monday, which is good. And, you know, catching it, the natural immunity, the more it points to it, the natural immunity is so much more powerful. And having both is a double win.
If you get the way that I saw it, if you get, let's just say the only thing you've gotten is COVID, okay? You have that natural immunity. If you, let's say you have, you know, you just have the shot, that's even more. If you get both, you're really, really good. So it kind of, there's like different levels of protection. It's like, you know, if you get COVID, it's like a level one protection. If you get the vaccine, it's a level two. But if you have COVID and the vaccine, it's like level six. And so that's what a lot of the research is.
And Penn is saying,
who? Which,
Penn, you know, University of Penn, you know, Ivy League, that.
Oh, UPenn?
Yeah. They're saying that the strength of this, the natural immunity, it's not waning. It doesn't seem to be waning at all. And it seems to
They said it waned after 6 or 8 months, but again,
now you know it's,
you know,
well. The thing
don't
is,
know.
It's the testing of it is, we don't have those long term tests. We're just trying to find out if you got the antibodies. But antibodies, they can be dormant, if you will, the T cell, and then if you reintroduce it, they ignite, and that's that's one of the things they're talking about. So
my dad said he still has the antibodies, and remember, he and my mom got it at the very beginning of the pandemic, and it killed my mother. But my father got sick. It wasn't good, but it wasn't brutal. And to this day, he's still, you know, he's been vaccinated, but he still gets his antibodies checked, and he says he's got it going still. So
that's a great thing, man. Keep those things going.
Absolutely.
You know, the big thing is, and I was Eric Weinstein and Brett Weinstein, really smart cats. Scientist, they were talking about the fact that there's a Dutch, I forget his name, Gert Vance, I forget his name, who predicted what was going to happen with the vaccine. He said, here's the thing, trying to vaccinate people in the midst of a pandemic is virtually impossible, because what ends up happening is the protein spikes, right? So the protein spikes happen. The inherently, it's trying to survive as you're trying to kill it. So it's trying to mutate as fast as possible. And when you go as narrow as they have, and that's why he says they should call it a shot rather than a vaccine, it's tough, because the narrower you go, and that's kind of what they did, it's a modern medical miracle what we did. But at the same time, this thing's trying to adapt as fast as possible, and it's causing the protein spikes to adapt, which is causing it to slink past the antibodies and cause those breakthrough tests. So you're going to have to widen that thing, and that's going to take a lot longer to do.
Right, right. You know, I'll switch gears on you just a little bit. So I know that we talked to Alex Stone earlier today, and he's talking about L.A., and if you're 12 years and older, you are mandated now to get the vaccine. When are we all going to do this? Because for vaccines and kids, you've got to get a ton of different vaccines.
Yeah.
Measles, mumps, polio, rubella, whooping cough. I mean, you've got all chicken pox. You've got all these different, they're like 14 shots you got to get or something like that. And so if that's the case, when are we going to move this vaccine into, I guess, the rotation? Because, you know, schools tell you how to dress. Schools tell you what shot you have to get. When are we going to put COVID in? Because
probably, I don't know if we will.
What are we waiting for?
Because it's, I think the reason we're not going to is because it's an endemic thing, like a, it's not going anywhere.
Okay.
So until there is a you take it and you never get it forever, that's going to be hard. I think the thing what's going to happen is before we get a vaccine that has that, we're going to have two or three absolutely fantastic treatments for it, like the Z-Pak would be for something. And then we just have to get on with our lives because this thing continues to mutate over and over again. And sometimes it'll be much weaker. Sometimes it may be, you know, more deadly, but not as, you know, easily to spread. We'll need the treatment will be far more important until we get that one shot because we don't mandate the flu shot. And if it's hard to mandate something like that because you're not going to be sending kids in every year, I don't think, for this. Because I think once we have the real – and I think that remdesivir and a few of the other things, the monoclonal antibodies and things like that, I think when we get more of those treatments that are proven and the patents get sorted out with them – let's remember a lot of what's going on right now, they have minted several billionaires – and a lot of what you see out there is just as much a money and patent battle as it is anything else.
Yeah, but if it's FDA approved for 12 and over, you know, why can't we get this shot in all kids? Because right now, at least in Arizona, you got, you know, out of every four cases, one is a kid. So, I mean, are we going to wait until next year? We're not going to do it at all? It just doesn't make any sense to me. If you've got a vaccine that works, let's get all the kids, let's put it in line with all these other shots. Pneumonia.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to take that shot. I've got a whole list here.
But
meningitis, they got to take that shot. So why aren't they putting COVID in? Probably because it's been politicized. But my goodness, we got to keep kids safe. 12 and over, you're in a school. Let's get the vaccine. I mean, we do this to kids all the time.
You know, the other thing I think we need to ask, and we'll touch on, I'm sure, on Monday because we're going to talk to Gonzo here in a minute,
yeah.
Is if you've had it and you've tested it and you've got the antibodies, do you need to have a shot? I think that's a fair question, too.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair question. All right, Gonzo, he broke Gatos' heart, which makes us all smile, but he's also a good dude, and as you guys all remember, he did help, you know, win something that was celebrated, and 20th anniversary, and tomorrow's 20th anniversary of 9/11, we're going to talk about what it was like playing in that World Series. Get us a chat show.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Serious news, seriously entertaining. The Gatos and Chad Show.
9/11, 20 years later. My goodness, I can't believe it's 20 years later. One of the things after 9/11 that healed us as a nation was baseball. We had the Arizona Diamondbacks with all their stars and a terrific team head to the World Series to take on the New York Yankees. Obviously, New York hit on 9/11, and baseball healed us. And joining us now, he's the man that I like to say ruined my life because, you know me, I'm a Yankees fan. He got the base hit to win the World Series in 2001. He's our old buddy, Luis Gonzalez. Gonzo, how are you today?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I like to rib you a little bit on that because, you know, you're such a good guy. And if anyone was going to beat my Yankees, I'm glad it was you. But I will say this, man. I've never asked you this question before. Did you feel like the world was against you guys? Because New York got hit on 9/11. The Diamondbacks were playing the Yankees. The Yankees all of a sudden became like the sweetheart of everybody because of what happened on September the 11th. When you went to New York for Game 3, I mean, what were your emotions knowing that, you know, you were in a city that just got attacked?
Yeah, absolutely. I think on any normal year, everybody would have been rooting for us.
Yep.
But the fact that, you know, that happened in New York City, 9/11, and, you know, they were the emotional team that everybody was rooting for. I mean, everything that was going on there. And for us to be a part of the healing process for a lot of people in New York City and sports and it meant a lot to our team to be a part of that. And, you know, we realized the magnitude of what was going on there. We won the first two games here in Arizona, but then going to New York City for games 3, 4, and 5, the way it, you know, worked out for them winning those emotional games late in the ball game, heroics from some of their star players. It was meant to be that way. And for us, we're glad we won it. And we were glad that we won it at home and not in front of the fans there in New York City. We had already talked about most of the guys if we would have won the series in New York, we wouldn't have celebrated out there on the field, just out of respect to what it was going on.
Wow. I did not know that. I've never heard that before. That's really interesting. Luis Gonzalez is joining us on KTAR.
Hey, Gonzo, so you guys land there. Obviously, it's the city is the aftershock of it all. You know, I'm sure it was very surreal for you guys. That first night, though, that game, something about the game. Obviously, the president, game three, 49 days afterwards. What was that experience like? Because, as you know, doesn't matter who you are, around the world, people were watching that right there. And for a moment, you put away the fact that you guys are playing against each other, right?
Right. Well, you're right. Exactly. When we got on the bus from the hotel and started heading towards the stadium, it got real. I mean, we started during the off day. We visited Ground Zero. As a team, we had decided we wanted to thank all the first responders and let people know that, you know, these are the biggest games of our career, but there was something bigger and more important that was going on, and we wanted to let fans and people know that, you know, we weren't immune to what was going on. But when we were going in for the ball game for game three, just pulling in towards the stadium, all the security, the extra checkpoints. I mean, we're the actual players, and we're going through the same protocols that everybody else was going through. I mean, there was no exceptions to the rule. We, you know, we got checked just like everybody else. We got in the locker room. There was bomb sniffing dogs everywhere. There was snipers in the towers. You know, just the heightened presence of everything that was going on, and especially knowing that the president was going to come out to throw out the first pitch was. It was really surreal when you looked around and saw everything that was going on.
Luis Gonzalez is joining us on KTAR, hero of the 2001 World Series, along with the big unit. My goodness, you had so many great players, Tony Womack and Bell and Williams and all those guys and Schilling. When you look back on this World Series, is it like, do you feel like you were a part of world history and not necessarily baseball history, even though that was one of the biggest moments in baseball history when you came up and got the hit in the ninth to win it?
No, you're exactly right. I think it was part of world history because of the simple fact that, you know, it happening in New York, us having the opportunity to play in the World Series against the Yankees in New York City. And the dramatics of the way our World Series came down to it. Giuliani was actually, a lot of the families that had lost loved ones, he was flying them back and forth from New York to Phoenix for the series, and they were going back and forth, and you know, just everything that was going on. Even in our rings after the World Series, inscribed inside of the World Series ring for all of us, we have never forget, because this was an important time, not just for baseball, but in history.
Yeah. So here's something. You know what? You're an athlete. You're on the field. But 9/11's happened, and there's a lot of people, and people are still jumpy and nervy, as anybody would be. Was there a sense of, you know, even that first night, I mean, you know, Bush is there, that an extra sense of, you know, God knows what could take place right now. God knows if there's somebody with a bomb or a gun or anything like that. Did you ever worry or even think that ever crossed your mind?
Well, you know, when President Bush got to the ballpark, you know, coming through the locker rooms and stuff like that, meeting a bunch of the players, and then when he goes out to throw out the first pitch, you know, we're all staying in the dugout and we're counting, and there's extra umpires. And we're like, wait a minute, there's too many umpires out there. And then come to realize that a couple of the Secret Service guys were dressed up like umpires to flank him.
Wow.
Out on the field. And we're like, whoa, this is really serious here, what's going to happen. And then when he goes out to the mound, I don't know if you guys ever knew that there was a couple extra umpires there that were Secret Service guys that were standing right next to him.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, Luis Gonzalez has been our guest. Hero of the 2001 World Series. Gonzo, after all these years, I've come to deal with it as a Yankees fan.
You got to let it go.
You're a good dude. It still hurts. I still wake up screaming in the middle of the night, Gonzo. But now you're a good guy. We appreciate you joining us. We're glad you decided to stay here in Arizona after your career. Appreciate you joining us and giving us some of the insight about 9/11 and what it was like to play in a World Series. Thanks, man.
You got it, guys. Always a pleasure. I appreciate it.
It's story time on the Gatos and Chad Show. After giving you 19 hours and 45 minutes of news this week, the guys give you an inside look at their personal lives.
We do this every week, my man.
Story time in the Gatos and Chad Show. We get all nice, warm, and fuzzy. You want to go first?
You know what? I will go first this time. I will throw it out there, you know, because it is your birthday, but I'm just going to go first, and I'll make it quick so that way you can tell everybody how amazing you are on your birthday. 48, I'm a couple years ahead of you. So I am so excited for my little dude, Jack. Jack has his first hockey practice, full-bore team practice on Sunday. And his mom's been sending me, he's been out practicing every day on the ice after school and stuff, his mom, when he can. His mom's been sending me video. He's getting so much better, but she's like, I cannot wait for him to get to practice because he is driving me crazy. He is driving me crazy. But he is so beyond excited. And I look, as much as he loves football, and he loves football. Last night, he was watching the game because he's a huge Brady and Gronk fan. He loves football. I have never in my life seen him this excited about anything. Not video games, wow. Not anything. He is over the moon, and it is going to be absolutely amazing to see him out there. And then next week, he will get his he's got a big surprise coming, which he doesn't know about. He's going hockey shopping, where he's going to get a bunch of stuff that's going to be kind of brand new because, you know, Dad's very excited about the fact that he's playing. Outside of buying him a horse or a yacht, I could think of nothing else more expensive. But to see the look on his face when he's skating is amazing, and I am so pumped for his first one. Come on, Jack, let's get to the NHL. I don't have high expectations. I have the highest expectations.
All right, go Jack. Story time on the Gatos and Chad Show. Yeah, it's my birthday today, man. And I'm 48, and I'm just glad to be leaving the house tonight. So it's been a weird last week or so. Two Tuesdays ago, my wife had a little sore throat. We were heading in the next couple of days for Jamaica, and you have to have a negative COVID test to get to Jamaica. And I said, listen, just take the test and see, you know, just make sure it's all good. And she came down with COVID. So she's vaccinated. It was very mild. You know, but man, I'll tell you, because what am I going to do? I'm going to be upstairs. She's going to be downstairs. I've tested negative twice. I didn't get it. She's been fine. But for my birthday, she's taking me out to dinner. So I'm looking forward to getting out of the house. We haven't been in the same car for 12 days. We've eaten dinner together, but it was outside and it was very separated. And so I'm looking forward to sitting next to my lovely wife. We're going to have some dinner. We'll have some drinks. We'll celebrate, you know, the big 4-8. And I think it'll just be good to get out of the house. And, you know, I think we're very thankful for the vaccine. And because this thing has proved, I mean, I was around her when she was most contagious. And Moderna just said, here's my middle finger. You ain't getting in this guy. You know, she had the Pfizer vaccine and it worked. Yeah, it was a breakthrough COVID case, but you know what? She was fine. She was fine. She a scale 1 to 10, 10 being, oh my gosh, you're in the hospital and you're on a ventilator. She was a, like a half. She was a 1. So I'm very thankful for that. So we'll go out and celebrate tonight the big 4-8.
Do you realize you are 2 years away from being a half a century. I achieved a half a century last year, and I have to be completely honest with you, man.
You're rocking it.
It is. And I was, it's funny because you're saying that, and you know what? I feel pretty good. I mean, I don't feel like I was 20, but I saw Brewman today, and he's like, he comes up to me. He's like, dude, what are you? You're 50. I said, yeah, I'm 50. He goes, I'm 54, Chad. I was playing with my dog. I tore my hamstring. I could barely walk.
Oh.
He goes, And I'm like, we were laughing so hard because there, you know, you get to a certain age and everybody's listening who's that age. You know, it's like, why can't I move my shoulder? Like, what did I bump into that I got a bruise? You used to laugh at mom and dad for that. Well, it's coming. And 50, man, 2 years away. But 50 is not what our parents were when they were 50. I'll tell you that right now. But happy birthday, my man.
Thank you.
It is awesome. You are flipping the page. It's been a hell of a couple years for sure. And hopefully by the time your 50th rolls around, we can all go to Jamaica and celebrate with you.
Fantastic. I'll be back in studio on Monday, so it'll be good to see you again. And I hope Jack's big practice goes well. And we'll talk to you next week, man.
Sounds good, man. Have a good weekend. Happy birthday.
You too. Thanks again.